conference all year. We count it a great blessing and privilege to listen to the preaching, and then it's certainly a privilege to be able to preach. And it's our prayer that just get out of the way, the Lord can preach through us. We'd like to speak today in Malachi chapter 1. I'd like to read verses 6 through verse 8. Malachi 1, begin reading with verse 6, reading through verse 8. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests, that despise or think little of my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. If ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person? Saith the Lord of hosts. To speak today on the subject of the spirit of irreverence. The spirit of irreverence. Malachi was the last of the prophets to the restored remnant after the 70-year captivity. The children of Israel had passed through great trouble. God had remembered them in the greatness of his grace and mercy, and they had been scattered over the face of the earth, but God had heard their groanings and had restored them to their land and given them a period of peace and prosperity. However, the things of God's house were now being neglected, or they were being attended to in a very careless, heartless manner. God was insulted by their worship. God was insulted by the offerings that they had brought. And as Malachi looked out upon the people, we see his heart was burdened. We see there in verse 1 the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. As he looked out upon the people, his heart was burdened with a message from the Lord. And as he looked out upon that people, he saw a prevailing spirit of irreverence, which was keeping them from enjoying the things of the Lord. And as we look out today amongst those who profess to be God's people, do we not see that same spirit of irreverence today? As we look upon our churches many times, our heart is burdened as we see this spirit of irreverence. As we look within our own hearts, our heart is burdened because we see many times that same spirit of irreverence. But I don't believe that we can enjoy the things of God like we could as long as this spirit of irreverence prevails. We want to consider two things this afternoon. First of all, we want to consider the question that is asked here in verse 6. And then we want to consider the one who asked the question. But first of all, let's look at the question. In verse 6, he says, where is my honor? Where is my reverence? He says, where is my fear? Where is my reverence? Is what God is asking. Where is my reverence? Now, reverence means to regard with awe, mingled with respect and affection. Today we hear much about athletes being awesome. There's only one that is awesome today, and that is God. And He is to be regarded with awe. That's reverence. But I believe we have lost that to a large degree. And I believe that same spirit of irreverence that was so common in Malachi's day has crept into our Baptist churches today. Irreverence is a lack of respect for the presence, for the power, and for the majesty of God. And it comes from thoughtlessness on our part and unbelief. It is a sin that is very common amongst God's people. More common, I'm afraid, than you and I want to realize. It is a sin that is very common. And a sin, I'm afraid, that many of us are unwilling to recognize. That is, we don't want to see it. And again, as Brother Smith said earlier, we're not here to offend anybody. That's not our purpose. We do not want to offend anyone. We do not want to make anyone mad. We're simply trying to preach what we believe is the truth of God's Word. And we ask that we would look into our hearts and examine our own lives. But it seems that many of the Lord's people have a very flippant attitude when it comes to the things of the Lord. The Bible tells us that it is our duty to reverence God. In Psalm 4, in verse 4, we read, "Stand in awe." That's every day of our lives. We're to stand in awe of God. That's reverence. In Psalm 33 and verse 8, we read, "Let all the earth fear the Lord." That's reverence. "Let all the inhabitants of the earth stand in awe of Him." In Psalm 89 and verse 7, we read, "God is greatly to be feared or reverenced in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about Him." The Bible teaches that we are to render reverence unto God. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28, we read, "Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace that we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." The only way we can serve God in an acceptable way is with reverence. Irreverence makes it unacceptable in the sight of God. In all of our duties toward God, in all of our duties toward man, God is to be reverenced. In everything that we do, we are to stand in awe of God. That is, in all of our thoughts, God is to be reverenced. In all of our words, God is to be reverenced. In all of our actions, God is to be reverenced. The psalmist said there in Psalm 145 in verse 1, "I will extol Thee, my God, O King." He's talking about reverence. And the object of David's exaltation and praise was God. It was not some athlete. It was not some movie star. It was God. Amen. And God is to be the object today of our reverence. We are to exalt Him. We are to glorify Him. We are to give Him reverence. We read over and over in the Gospels, when Jesus healed someone, they returned and glorified God. That is, they gave God the reverence. They gave God the glory. Yet today there is such a flippant attitude toward the things of God. And irreverence was a problem In the days of Malachi, and I don't believe it's any less of a problem today. Now we want to, as we consider this question, where is my honor? Where is my fear? We want to look in the book of Malachi and see five ways in which this irreverence was manifested. And as we look at these five ways that this irreverence was manifested, I believe we see all five of these things very, very prevalent in our churches today. And it's for the same reason. Irreverence. But we see that irreverence, first of all, was manifested by the character of the offerings that they made to God. In verses 7 and verse 8, he is asked the question, where is my honor? Where is my fear? And then he says, ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar. And yet you say, wherein have we polluted thee? Verse 8, and if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person? Saith the Lord of hosts. Irreverence led these individuals, instead of bringing the best, instead of bringing the most perfect, man thought it was sufficient to bring unto God that which was torn, to bring unto God that which was crippled, to bring unto God that which was cheap, to bring unto God that which was paltry, to bring unto God that which was of absolutely no value, in the market. In irreverence led them to believe that God ought to be satisfied with it. This is what we're bringing, Lord, and this is all you're getting, so be satisfied. And do we not see that spirit today? Spirit of irreverence. The diseased lamb was laid there on the altar without hesitation. They didn't think anything about it. They thought God ought to accept it. But God, of course, was not pleased. And how many times we are guilty? How many times we are guilty of giving the Lord the fragments of our lives? How many times we are guilty of giving God what is left over? That's irreverence. That's where that comes from. Irreverence. How often we bring to God what we would be ashamed to bring to anyone else. Is that not what he's referring to in verse 8? He says, if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased? It wasn't even good enough for the governor, but they brought it to the King of Kings. And that's what we're doing today. We give God the fragments. We give God what is left over in our lives. And God in Malachi's day was insulted. I believe it's still true today. God says, give me thy heart. To bring anything less, to bring anything less, is to do what these folks were doing. He doesn't ask merely for your ear. He doesn't merely ask for your tongue. He doesn't merely ask for your head. He doesn't merely ask for your money or your property. He says, give me thy heart. And we know all too well today that the world, with its riches, with its honors, with its pleasures, is saying, give me thine heart. The world, in all its riches and all its pleasures and all of its honors today, is saying, give me thy heart. And you know what we're saying? Lord, after we give our hearts to the world, after we pursue a degree of riches and honor and pleasure, Lord, we'll give you what's left over. That's irreverence. Do not ever think it's sufficient to give God fragments. He says, give me thine heart. Yet today, how many sit here even now very satisfied with what the fragments that they are giving God? Yeah. Proceeds from a spirit of irreverence. You see, they thought that God ought to be satisfied with whatever they gave him. And it seems that attitude prevails today. Are you willing to empty yourself and be the servant of the one who saved your soul? That's all he's asking. When he says, give me thine heart. He doesn't say, do as you please. Fulfill the lust of your flesh. And if you have time, give me what's left over. But that's what many are doing today. Consider some things that we give the Lord the fragments of. Consider our time. Let's look in the book of Luke, chapter 9. Verses 59 and verse 61. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer, permit me first to go and bury my father. Verse 61, another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. In both instances, the Lord is promised the time left over in both cases. That's why many today cannot be in the house of God when the doors are open. Because they don't have enough time, they think. How often they who profess to be God's people, they who profess to love the Lord, are guilty of giving our time what's left over. They will come to church if they have time. They will help in the church if they have time. In other words, we will serve the Lord if there is time left over after we have done what we want to do. That's irreverence. And this spirit, I believe, is very prevalent. Consider our money. We are to give the first fruits of all of our increase. And we are to do so willingly. We are to do so cheerfully. We are not to pay all of our bills and then do what we want to do, and then give God what's left over, if there's anything left over. We're to give Him the first fruits of all our increase. That doesn't just refer to wages. That means all of our increase. We are to give God the first fruits. We're not to bring God the fragments. We're not to bring God what is left over. We're to bring God the first fruits. And if you don't do that today, the reason is because there's a spirit of irreverence in your heart. Amen. Think about our abilities and talents. How many times those who profess to know the Lord and love the Lord, when something needs to be done, they'll say, well, if you can't get anyone else to do it, let me know, and I'll be glad to. In other words, if you can't get anybody else to do it, I guess I will. Don't really want to, but I guess I'll have to if you can't find somebody else.
Amen.
It's irreverence. We ought to want to.
Amen.
This spirit of irreverence. Whatever God has given us, we must realize that it's a privilege, not a right. And we are to give back whatever He's given us. Are we as diligent in the things of God as we are in the common things of life? If not, does that not manifest a spirit of irreverence? Then notice the second thing that manifested their irreverence in verse 6, in verse 7. Also in chapter, we don't have the time now, but we see the same statements are made in chapter 2, verse 17. We see the same statement is made in chapter 3, verse 8, and chapter 3, verse 13. And that is, wherein have we done wrong? Malachi reproved them and rebuked them, and their response every time was, who, us? Lord, is it us? You must be talking to the person sitting next to me. It can't be me. I'm innocent. And today we can preach the truth and folks will sit there and they won't even bat an eye. And they'll say, oh, I wish so-and-so was here to hear this. They can't see their own need. Their heart is hard to their own sin. That is a result of irreverence. And we see that was prevalent in Malachi's day. When Malachi rebuked them, what did they do? They shrugged it off. Same thing's happening today. Sunday after Sunday, service after service, the Word of God is being preached, repentance is being preached, sin is being preached against, and folks sit there and they shrug it off like nothing was said. Why is that? Is it not the spirit of irreverence? The third thing we see is they made the things of the Lord to be common things. Verse 12 of chapter 1. But ye have profaned it. That is, you have brought it down to a common use. It was no longer sacred. In that you say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. They profaned the things of the Lord. That is, they were no longer sacred in their eyes. They no longer treated the things of the Lord as though they were sacred. And we as Baptists today have been given the sacred things of the Lord. And when we change them as we please, we're guilty of doing exactly what they were doing. Profaning that which was sacred. Baptism is a sacred thing of the Lord. And as Brother Titus was saying, there is no debate. It's not even debatable. It is immersion by the authority of the Lord's churches. Folks must bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. And when a church accepts alien immersion, they have taken that which was sacred, and it's no longer sacred in their eyes. And that is a sign of irreverence. Someone who reverences God will never take alien immersion. If they reverence God, they just will not do it. They will not accept alien immersion. They will not accept alien baptism if they reverence God. The reason they do so is because there is a lack of reverence. Consider the Lord's Supper. Same thing. It is one of those sacred things. And it's not debatable today, folks. It's sacred. And we need to hold it as sacred. The elements of the Lord's Supper are wine and unleavened bread. And to change it or approve somebody else to change it is doing what they did in Malachi's day. And you know why you do that? Irreverence. Irreverence. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 17 through 19, remember Jesus directed the apostles to a certain man's house. And it was in that house that Jesus was going to observe the Passover Supper with His apostles. Do you think for one moment that Jesus directed them to a house that had leaven in it? We go back to the Old Testament and we see those Jews. I can see them getting down on their hands and knees, going into every crevice of the house, getting out all the leaven. Getting it all out. And as they were observing that Passover, He took the elements of that Passover and instituted the supper. Amen. And for you and I to change that is irreverence. Amen. It is a sacred thing of God. Yeah, that's right. Sacred. Amen. We must not profane it. Consider the Lord's church. It's sacred. Folks today don't know how to behave in God's house. Sacred. You may be doing this right now. If you're sitting there drawing pictures, doodling on a pad of paper, that's irreverence. That is irreverence for God. God's Word is being preached. And folks are sitting there coloring in coloring books. They're sitting there drawing pictures. Parents are entertaining their children. Many parents today say, "Oh, we don't believe in children's church." They might as well.
Yeah, that's right. Amen, brother.
They bring all their toys. They bring their coloring books. They bring what have you. And they entertain their children during church.
Amen.
It's irreverence.
Amen.
It's irreverence. I believe it's irreverence when we come in the house of God and show wedding pictures or any other kind of picture.
Amen.
It's not what God's house is for.
Amen.
I don't believe it's a time to give out invitations to a party. I don't believe it's a place to talk about parties.
Amen.
It is the house of God.
Amen.
But oh, there's much irreverence today.
Amen.
There's much profaning the sacred things of God. And as pastors of the Lord's churches, we hold a sacred office. We must be certain that we do not make it a common job. That would be profaning that which is sacred. That would be irreverence. Fourthly, they considered the Lord's work a drudgery. Notice in verse 14. Or verse 13, I'm sorry, Malachi 1, verse 13. Ye said also, "Behold, what a weariness is it." They thought it was a drudgery. They became tired of observing every point. If we're not going to observe every point, who is? Who is? No one else is going to. If the Lord's churches don't do it, no one else is going to. And yet today, God's people have gotten tired of observing every point. They are scared to death that they might become too serious in the things of God. They are scared to death that they might become overzealous in the things of God. We're not in any danger. But yet today, how many consider the Lord's work a drudgery? How many are always trying to find a loophole in God's commandment? Always trying to find a way out. It's because of irreverence. You can say, well, pastor can preach on godly dress. Women dressing like women, men dressing like men, in a modest, decent fashion. And you can say, I don't believe that. I'll dress any old way I want to. It's irreverence. You may say, well, I just disagree with that preacher. It's irreverence. Because it's God's word. When it comes to the doctrine of separation, the reason folks can run to the movie house and here and there is for the same reason. Irreverence for God. Children disobey their parents, have no respect for their parents. You've not only sinned against your mother and your father, but it's irreverence to God. We can't commit a sin without being guilty of irreverence. And then the fifth thing here we see is they compromised the things of the Lord. Chapter 2 and verse 17. Chapter 2, verse 17. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, where is the God of judgment? They were guilty of compromising. Again, if we're not going to contend for the faith, who is? We're the only ones that can. Now is not the time to interject our opinions. Now is not the time to interject our ideas. Now is the time to earnestly contend for the faith. Amen. And that's going to take reverence of God.
Amen.
But we're the only ones that can do it today. To earnestly contend for the faith. Now there are many ways that irreverence manifests itself. It manifests itself in prayerlessness. It manifests itself every time we murmur and complain. It manifests itself every time we fail to give thanks unto God. And you could go on and on. We need to hurry on. We want to consider the one who asked this question. The question is, where is my honor? Where is my fear? The question that God is asking is, where is my reverence? Now let's see the one who's asking the question. It is a loving God that is asking the question. Verse 2, I have loved you, saith the Lord. And then down in verse 6, he asks the question. I have loved you. Where is my honor? I have loved you. Where is my fear? Every one of us, as children of God, have heard God whisper in our ears, I love you. I've loved you. But I believe if we listen, we may also hear him ask, where is my honor? Where is my fear? God doesn't merely say, I took pity upon you, though he did. He says more than that. He says, I've loved you. He doesn't merely say, I think of you all the time, though he does. He says, I've loved you. He doesn't merely say, I care for you. He says, I love you. And the one who says, I love you today, ask a very simple question. Where is my honor? Where is my honor? I have loved you. Before the foundation of the world, I chose you and predestinated you to eternal life. Wrote your name down in the Lamb's book of life. so that the devil and all his legions could not take you from the life which I have ordained you to. I have loved you. Where is my honor? Where is my honor? I have loved you. I sent my beloved Son from the splendors and majesty of heaven to work out your salvation. Where is my honor? You see, the one who asked that question today is the one who loved us when we didn't love him. And the one who loved us when we didn't love him asks, where's my honor?
Yeah. Amen, brother.
Where's my reverence? Yeah. The one who loved us when we blasphemed and cursed him says today, where's my reverence? The one who loved us when we had no time for the things of God nor cared for the things of God asked today, where's my reverence? The one who loved us while you and I loved the curser, the liar, the filthy mouth, the vile, the wicked, and fled from the company of the righteous. He loved us even then. And it's he that asked the question today. Where's my reverence? The one who loved us when we loved the pleasures of the flesh while we lived for the sole purpose of satisfying the lust of our flesh, he asks, where is my reverence? The one who loved us when we were alienated from God, pursuing our own pleasures, pursuing our own profit, the slaves to sin, the slaves to Satan, he is the one who asks the question today, where is my reverence? Where is my reverence? The one who loved us so much that he would not allow us to remain the prisoners of sin and would not allow us to remain the prisoners of Satan. It's he that asked that question today. Where is my reverence? He who came to us where we were and drew us to himself, and as a result we ran after him, it's he that asked that question today. Where is my reverence? Consider the one who asked the question today. Where is my reverence? Where is my honor? The one who loves us so much that there's nothing in hell, nothing in time, nothing in space, nothing in creation that can separate us from his love. It's he who asked that question. Where is my reverence? We look upon our hearts and we see much sin. Yet he whispers to our hearts today, I love you. And it's he that asked that question. Where's my honor? You and I, we get into a sad, lean, low condition many times. And all along, God is there saying, I love you. He's the one that asked the question today. Where's my reverence? The reason you and I are justified rather than condemned is God's love.
Amen.
And he asked the question, where is my reverence?
Amen.
You say in your heart, I'll do whatever I please. I'll dress the way I want to dress. I'll go where I want to go. If you are a child of God today, can't you hear God asking you the question?
Yes. Amen.
Where is my reverence? Where's my reverence? You that feel compelled to entertain your children in the house of God, can't you hear God asking that question today? Where's my reverence?
Amen.
Children of God that can walk in the house of God improperly dressed, I believe we reverence God in the way we dress. Can you hear tonight, today, God asking that question? Where's my reverence? You that can just read any magazine more than you can the Word of God, and you just kind of put the Word of God to the side, can you not hear God asking that question today?
Amen. Amen.
Where's my reverence?
Amen.
You that half-heartedly listen to the preaching of God's Word, Can you hear God ask the question today? Where's my reverence? You individuals that feel that it's more important to work than to be in the house of God, it's more important to shop, it's more important to go to a baby shower or a wedding or to go to Aunt Sue's than to be in the house of God, can you not hear God ask that question today? Where's my reverence? Where's my reverence? I believe God is asking us that question today. But because of irreverence, I hear the reply of many, wherein have we offended thee, Lord? Lord, us? We're Baptists. You can't be talking about us. Those who can only drag themselves in the house of God once a week and feel that that's all that God requires. Personally, I doubt they're saved. But if you are, can you hear God asking the question? Where's my reverence? It's our loving God that asked that question. Secondly, it's a sovereign God who asked that question. Verse 2 and verse 3 of Malachi chapter 1. Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I love Jacob. And I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. God's proclaiming his sovereignty there. And the sovereign God of heaven, the sovereign God of the universe, asked today, where is my reverence? He refers to himself as the Lord of hosts there in chapter 1 verse 14. In several other places here in Malachi. And the Lord of hosts today asked that question. Where's my reverence? You say, well, I couldn't get to the evening service because I was at a baby shower and couldn't get home in time. Can you not hear the sovereign God of the heaven and the universe asking you today, where's my reverence? Where's my reverence? When you go out and you do all kinds of activities on Sundays, the Lord's Day, profaning the Lord's Day, and then can't make it to the house of God Sunday evening, or you come ill-prepared to worship, can't you hear God asking the question?
Amen.
Where's my reverence? The sovereign God of the universe asked that question today. Then thirdly, we see an immutable God ask that question. In Malachi 3 verse 6, he tells us he doesn't change. An unchanging God asks us today,
yes,
where is my reverence? And then we see back in chapter 1 in closing, our Father and Master ask the question, where is my reverence?
Amen.
As we look out upon God's people, our heart is burdened because there's so much irreverence. And we could mention many, many things that manifests a spirit of irreverence. But as we look into our own hearts, if we're honest, we must admit many times we're guilty of irreverence. Why, there are times when we preachers get up to preach, and there is a spirit of irreverence in us. Can't you hear God asking that question today? Where is my honor? Where is my fear? If God be our Father, if God be our Master, then we ought to leave the tents of wickedness, and we ought to yield ourselves entirely to Him.
Amen.
Fully surrendered to His will. If He be your Father, if He be your Master, you ought to trust Him with all your heart. Not to do so is irreverent. We ought to lean upon Him. We ought to follow Him fully all of our days, with all of our heart, and at all costs. Anything short of that is irreverent. God help us today, because again, none of us, no one more guilty than I. None of us are innocent of this spirit of irreverence. God help us that we would stand in awe of the one who saved us. Do you realize if we stood in awe of Him, how much better our singing would be? How much better our preaching would be? How much better our entire services would be if we just stood in awe of Him? Brother Titus, Lord bless you.
Amen. Amen.